squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Randburg, September the 22nd, 10 a.m. Two officials leave the recently opened branch of the General Bank and climb into a waiting security van. It's a warm spring morning, and the roads are bathed in sunshine, enhancing the beauty of the few remaining patches of veld on the way to Johannesburg. As they approach the city, the road changes to a modern six-lane snake of a highway covered in shining white lines and gigantic route direction boards. The van noses its way into the city center and pulls up in the loading bay outside the General Bank's main branch in Elof Street. The two officials are expected, and the money they are collecting is waiting for them in a steel box. Herman Pretorius, the security guard driver, helps one of the bank officials, Arthur Nell, to load the money into the rear of the van, whilst the other bankman, William Evans, signs the necessary documents to facilitate the transfer.
Hey, man, that's quite a weight. What's inside there? Solid gold?
Not as far as I know. The people of Randburg would rather have paper money than gold.
Well, I didn't know paper could be so heavy.
It's these steel boxes that weigh so much. The man who discovers something just as strong but 10 times as light will make a fortune. Mind you, I think there is something already. It's just that we haven't got around to using it yet.
Yeah, you're telling me. Shall I close the door?
Yes, that's a lot.
Right, all loaded up, Arthur?
Yes, it's in the back.
Good. Right, let's get back to civilization, shall we? If I stay in this madhouse any longer, I shall go round the bend. Mr. Tyrrell thinks we ought to raise our cash reserve figure at Randburg now. We're doing far more business for a new branch than they expected, especially on paydays.
Ooh, good. That's a feather in our cap, isn't it?
Just missed the green light again. It's funny, you know, how some mornings you just can't beat them.
Don't move, anybody.
What do you think?
Shut up. This gun isn't a toy. Move over, hurry it up. Just do as I tell you and you won't get hurt.
...10:45 a.m. The man who had jumped into the van tells the driver to make his way onto the Jan Smuts Highway, heading north. He also takes the guard's revolver. The two bank officials sit motionless in the back, a revolver pointing straight at them. One of the men, Nell, also has a revolver, but it's in his pocket, and he has not yet had an opportunity to reach it. The driver, his worried, tense face peering restlessly through the windscreen, drives carefully. He does not want to alarm the gunman. He drives north along Jan Smuts, as instructed, until they approach the intersection with Empire Road.
Okay, turn left. Take it slow and get into the left lane. Don't do anything that might attract attention, or you'll get a bullet in your head.
Where are you taking us?
We'll see. It's not far now. I suppose you two have got guns, eh?
No, we haven't.
Give them to me.
We haven't got guns.
Okay, well, I'll check in a minute. Okay, turn. Left here, driver. And into the showgrounds.
Why are you wearing those bandages? You had an accident?
Yeah, very bad accident. Especially so you can't recognize me, stupid.
You won't get away with this, you know. When the police get onto you, you won't have a chance.
Who asked your opinion, big mouth? Just keep it tight shut. Unless I ask her something. Take us, steady, driver. Here. Turn right here.
Where are you taking us?
Pull up by those green doors, driver. Where it says Eastern Pavilion. All right, driver. Get out and open the door. Just enough for us to get through. And don't try anything clever. Understand?
All right.
Can you drive?
I suppose so.
Take her inside, quickly. Now take it easy. Drive carefully. That's it. Very good. Okay, switch off.
Quiet, isn't it?
All right. Get out of the van and stand round the back by the rear door. Don't try, friend. Come here.
Give me the gun, quickly. Thank you. I thought you said you weren't armed.
You didn't have to.
Get round the back. You two, put your arms up. Nice and high.
That's it. Just our hero friend with the gun, was it? Who's got the keys to the door?
I have.
Open it then.
And the strong box? Who's got the key to that? Come on.
I have.
Open it up, please. Let's have a look at all that lovely money.
Beautiful. That's quite a sight, isn't it? And it's all mine. How much is there?
I don't know. I was only driving. I don't work for the bank.
I know that. I wasn't talking to you. Hey, you. How much is in the box?
20,000 rand.
Even better than I hoped for. Must be my lucky day. Driver, give me your keys, and then get that hold all from the front seat. You boys are going to pack my case for me. I might even leave you a few rand for doing it.
Under the watchful eye of the gunman, Evans and Nell load the money from the steel box into the leather hold-all. He then makes all three men lie on the concrete floor of the pavilion and quickly binds their hands and feet.
There. Not the greatest knots I've ever tied in my life, but good enough to keep you lot quiet for a few minutes. And that'll be quite long enough for me.
I hope they put you inside for life, you scum.
I don't think so, friend. In any case, they've got to catch me first.
You'll never get away with it.
What are you talking about? He has done. For the moment, anyway.
It shouldn't take too long for one of us to get out of these ropes. And the sooner we can do that, the more chance that police will have of catching him.
Lovely morning, Constable. I think summer's on the way at last.
Yes, sir. Looks like it. Time to think about a bit of swimming again.
You mean to tell me you find time to swim? I don't know how you do it.
Control to all cars. Control to all cars. Hold up robbery of bank money on transfer just taken place in the Builder Park area. Armed gunman used security man number TJ7277. This getaway vehicle has leather hold-all containing 20,000 rand with him. No further description available at present. Repeat van number TJ7277. A clean Corinth van. A clean Corinth van. Over and out.
That's quite a haul, sir. 20,000 rand.
Control to car 36. Control to car 36. Come in, please, 36. Over.
Car 36 to control. Car 36 to control. Receive your control. Over.
State your position, 36. Over.
We are in Auckland Park, travelling east along First Avenue, approaching the Kingsway intersection with Greenwood Road. Over.
Proceed at once to the showground, Eastern Pavilion, and collect the men who are in charge of the bank's money. Names, Evans, Nell, and Pretorius. Evans, Nell, and Pretorius. Bring them into John Forster Square. Over.
Received your message, Control. Over.
That's all. Over and out.
That won't take us long. Just cut through on Stanley and Empire, and we're there.
Some of these chaps really amaze me, you know. Bit of petty thieving in the dead of night, that's one thing. But to pull a stunt like this in broad daylight, that's quite another thing.
Yes, sir. Hey, look at that van pulled up on the grass verge. That's a green Corinth van. Did you write down the number, sir?
Of course I did, laddie. You trying to teach me my job?
No, sir.
All right, no time for that. TJ7277.
That's the one, sir. Better take a look, hadn't we?
You're darn right we had.
Sergeant Fanta radios headquarters and leaves Constable White's with the van until the men from the fingerprint department can get there. Fanta drives car 36 himself to the showgrounds and takes the three waiting men to John Forster Square, where they are interviewed one by one by Lieutenant Lowe of the murder and robbery squad.
Is
Thank you, Lieutenant.
From what Mr. Nell told me, it was quite an ordeal for you all.
It wasn't pleasant, but at least he didn't hit myself or the driver like he did Nell.
Now, you weren't carrying a gun like Nell?
No, no. When we're transferring large amounts of money, it's usual for one of us to be armed, but we're not really trained guards, you understand. The man from the security was really more of a driver than a guard. We really only hire the driver in the van, not a full service.
Now, what can you tell me about this man's appearance, Mr. Evans?
Not very much, I'm afraid. His head was fully bandaged up, right down to his eyes, and he had a large piece of plaster across his nose, which hid most of the rest of his face.
Height, weight, clothes, anything along those lines may also be useful.
Well, he was about 5'10", I should think. About average weight. That is neither fat nor thin. I'm not very good at estimating weights, I'm afraid. I did notice he was wearing grey trousers and an old check sports coat. Oh, and his eyes. He had strange, piercing eyes.
Any idea of his age? Approximate.
Oh, it's very hard to say with all those bandages. From his voice, I'd say about 30 to 35, somewhere around there. I could be terribly wrong about that, though. It's very difficult, Lieutenant.
Now, I appreciate that, Mr. Evans. However, your colleague put him at about the same age, so we'll work on those lines to start with, until we find evidence to the contrary. Yes?
There's a Mr. Stevens to see you, sir, from the General Bank.
Ah, oh, good. Show him up here, will you?
Right, sir.
Lieutenant Lowe and Mr. Stevens, the chief security officer from the General Bank, spend the next few hours questioning the employees at both the main branch and the Randburg one and ascertaining the numbers of the stolen banknotes. They question all the employees carefully, but no one can throw any light on the robbery. At 8 p.m., Lieutenant Lowe is back in his office at John Forster Square, going over the statements he has taken.
Come in.
Records have been through, sir. They've got nothing on any of the prints taken from the van, and apparently there were millions of them.
Millions?
Well, quite a lot, sir. All different. There may be something to help us convict later on, sir, but they're not going to be any help in catching him.
That's a pity. We're a bit in the dark on this one at the moment. I'm seeing the general manager of the security firm tomorrow. Unfortunately, he's on holiday. He doesn't get back until the morning. Hello?
I've just had a call from the evening paper, sir. Apparently they ran a story on the robbery and they received an anonymous phone call a few minutes ago saying that the wanted man's name is Billy Turner.
Oh, just a minute. Let me write this down. Billy Turner, you say?
Yes, sir. He's a bookmaker. The caller also said that we could find him at the ringside at Ellis Park tonight.
Lieutenant Lowe and Constable White leave John Forster Square immediately and drive to the boxing tournament at Ellis Park. They make their way to the ringside, and White goes to inquire exactly where they can find Turner.
That's him over there, sir, at the end of the row. Shall we go and talk to him now?
Just wait a moment. He's not going to run away. All right, Constable, let's go see him. And keep that newspaper man out of my way.
It's not easy, sir. After all, it was his paper that gave us this tip-off.
That doesn't give him the right to interfere with our work. We'll just wait here and keep him with you.
All right, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Are you Mr. Turner?
Yes, I am. Can I help you?
I'm a police officer. I'd like to have a few words with you.
Oh, yes? Well, there's no room here. Do you want me to come out, or shall we move further back? There are plenty of seats there.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Oh, come on, then. What was it you wanted to talk about?
I'd like to ask you a few questions in connection with our investigations into a bank robbery this afternoon.
Oh, from the van, you mean? Yes, I read about it in the papers.
Is that all you know about it?
Yeah, of course it is. Here, wait a minute, what are you getting at?
Where were you this morning, Mr. Turner?
At work, of course. At my office in town, over the Regis Carpet Factory.
I see. Can you get anybody to substantiate that?
Oh, of course I can. Lots of people, including Councillor Widmark. He was in here this morning. Now, don't look so surprised. Councillors buy carpets the same as anyone else.
Well, please don't be offended, Mr. Turner. I'm only doing my duty. Who's the owner of the carpet factory?
I am. It's mine. Well, the wife's got a share, of course. It's our good business. The bookmaking's only a sideline for me, really. It was in the family, and I kept it on. Would it break my father's heart if I sold out?
Very well, Mr. Turner. I'm sorry to have bothered you. We'll have to check out your statements, of course, but I'm sure everything's in order. Just one more question. What is your exact height? I can see...
5'2". They call me Shorty, if you want to know. Anything else?
Please accept my apologies, Mr. Turner, but we received a phone call saying that you might be able to help us. We do have to follow up every lead we get.
No, it's all right. I don't mind you asking, really. Not when I'm innocent. No, if I was guilty, oh, I'd be worried.
Do you have any idea who might have phoned us? Have you got any enemies who might like to see you in trouble?
Me? My boy, I've got lots of them. When you run a successful business and you're a bookmaker, my boy, you've always got enemies.
Lieutenant Lowe checks Turner's alibi and finds it to be correct. He is not surprised. He is used to anonymous telephone calls and used to them proving fruitless. But he has to check. It's all part of the job. At 10 o'clock, he speaks to Evans again.
Hello, Lowe speaking.
I've got Mr. Evans on the line for you, sir.
Oh, very well. Put him through.
Hello, Lieutenant?
Good morning, Mr. Evans. Sorry to bother you at home. Just one or two points I'd like to try and clear up.
Oh, certainly.
Well, I've got Mr. Wood from the security service outside. I'd like you to put me in the picture a little more before I speak to him.
I'll tell you what I can, Lieutenant.
How often do you transfer large amounts of money out to your Randburg branch, Mr. Evans?
At the end of each month. It's usually somewhere between the 20th and the 24th. The last week of the month is usually very busy for us, so we try and get the money out a couple of days before the rush begins.
I suppose all your staff know when you're going.
Well, we don't advertise it, but it wouldn't be too difficult for them to find out.
Do you always use the same van?
No, not at all. We always use the same security service, but we've had several different vans and drivers.
I gather they're a reliable firm, otherwise you wouldn't keep using them.
Yeah, very reliable. The drivers are always punctual and usually very helpful as well.
I see. Well, thank you, Mr. Evans. We'll be in touch.
I hope you get the money back. Being in charge, I feel partly responsible.
I'm sure there's no need for that, sir. You did what you could. Just give us a little time.
Lowe has a long talk with the owner of the security service employed by the bank, and a list is drawn up of all the drivers who have worked for the firm over the last 12 months. Wood has 10 vans in operation night and day, and there are 39 names on the list. He says that he only sends his top men on the bank job as it is a good contract and he doesn't want to lose it. On this list, there are only 6 names.
They've all got to be checked out, Constable.
All 6, sir?
All 39. That list with 6 on doesn't mean a thing. Any of the other drivers could have known the schedule. You check them all. Some will be easy, others not so easy. You can start with Pretorius. Do you know where he was?
Pretorius? Oh, yes, sir. He was driving the van from the bank, sir.
Correct. You can cross him off. There, I've done one for you. Now you go and do the rest.
Yes, sir.
And speak to Constable van Aswerken about those banknote numbers. I want them circulated all over the country.
Won't the banks have done that already?
Yes, they will. I want them in every police station as well.
The investigations continue, but there are no new leads to follow and still no sign of the stolen money. At 9 p.m., November the 14th, there is a car accident at the corner of Russell and Main Streets in Port Elizabeth.
Are you all right in there? I say, you all right?
Yes, I'm okay. It's nothing broken. Just a little shaken up, that's all.
You look as though you've been drinking to me. I'll see if the people in the other car are hurt, then I'll call the police.
What? You know, I don't think so. There's no need for that, is there? I'd rather you didn't call them.
But the police are called, and the drunken driver is arrested. During the proceedings at police headquarters, Port Elizabeth, he becomes violent. He is held and searched for offensive weapons, and over 4,000 rands of unused banknotes is found in his pockets by Warrant Officer Fanikak.
I want to know where you got this money, Mr. Stockhill.
Never mind where I got it. It's mine. I've just done a good business deal. I'm not short of money, you know.
I know that. And you're not short on ways of making it either.
How dare you talk to me like that? I should...
Yes? Yeah, I thought so. Thank you, Constable. Now, listen to me, Stockhill. That money is part of 20,000 rand stolen in Johannesburg about 7 weeks ago. Now, I'm not saying you stole it. I don't think you'd have the guts. But I want to know where you got it.
I told you.
And I don't believe you. You've been in here quite a few times, haven't you? Drunk, gambling, assault and battery. Well, I'm warning you. If you don't tell us where you got that money, I'll see you go inside for years. You help us, and I'll see what I can do to make things a little easier for you. Now, what's it to be?
PM. Stockhill gives Warrant Officer Panikiak a name and address in Alfred Road. He drives there immediately with Sergeant Fisher and knocks on the door.
Who is it?
Come on, it's me.
I said, who is it? Tell me first.
Oh, come on, Johnny Man, it's Birdie Boy. Oh, all right. If you want to play games, I'll see you tomorrow.
No. Hang on a minute.
Right, get him, Sergeant.
Now,
you hold it there, Bailey. Try anything else and I'll shoot you.
Before they take Bailey to the police station, Panikiak and Fisher search the rooms. They find 6,000 rands in a jug on the mantel shelf, 3,000 rands in Bailey's clothing, and 7,000 rands in a large envelope nailed to the underside of the table. This money is also identified as being part of the stolen consignment. Bailey is flown to Johannesburg under police escort, where Lieutenant Lowe is waiting to take a statement.
Do you really expect me to believe that?
It's true. I was having to get rid of the money, change it into used notes. I admit that. That's why I approached Stockhill, but I had nothing to do with the actual robbery.
I see. You're going to try and make things difficult for us, are you? All right, Sergeant, take him away.
It's the truth, Lieutenant. I'm innocent. You can't blame a man when he's innocent, can you?
Shut the door, Constable.
Do you think he's talking the truth, sir?
No, I don't. Of course he isn't. But he's a cunning devil. He knows that the money we found isn't necessarily enough to convict him of robbery, and he's right. It's up to us to prove it. Do you happen to know if he was in Port Elizabeth on the 20th of October?
Well, he did work here, but he was on holiday from the 14th to the 28th. I think he went away from Peachy.
His name is Bailey, Mr. Wood, but he isn't on the list.
Bailey. Really, yes, of course. He was a clerk for me about 4 months ago. A clerk, not a driver.
Lieutenant Lowe speaking.
He's Constable White here, sir. Bailey's fingerprints do correspond with some of those found in the security van.
Lieutenant Lowe continues to build up his case against Bailey, but Bailey still insists that he was not present at the actual robbery.
But the fingerprints, sir, how can he deny those?
He doesn't have to. He says he could have left them there from when he was working for the firm. He thinks we're a bunch of morons.
Have we got enough evidence against him yet, sir?
Of course we have. And after this afternoon, we'll have a lot more. I'm holding an identification parade. 12 men, all with bandages and plasters.
Sounds a bit chancy to me, sir. Do you think they'll pick him out?
I think so. It's his eyes, White. He's got very distinctive eyes.
At the identification parade, both the bank officials, Evans and Nell, and the security van driver select the man standing in the line. It is the same man on all three occasions.
Well, Bailey, they all picked you.
Yeah. And you know what, Lieutenant? They were right.
At the Rand criminal sessions, Bailey pleaded guilty to the charge laid against him. 2 previous convictions were taken into account, 1 for theft and 1 for assault, and he was sentenced to 12 years imprisonment.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. they face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars.